This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joyce Brothers. Those of us who are independent and live alone shouldn't do so without having emergency protection.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to our show.
Now we're going
to
start and do it right.
It's got to be funky.
So look what I found.
There's plenty for everyone.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara.
Bye.
Josh Schroeder.
Josh!
And Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob!
It's only the beginning.
And now, here's Mike.
Oh, man, bummer, oh, bummer. You know, we're all about content, and what we, like to do on this show is we like to have stuff to talk about.
Yep.
And I am both delighted to talk about this individual, but really, really sad when you lose a legitimate, and I mean legitimate national treasure, which...
Say international treasure.
Universal treasure.
Well, I don't know about that.
Can I just open without Dr. Death just for 5 seconds? Maybe get through
it. Are you referring to me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll bow
just
out.
Just keep your penis in its pants for just a second, and I'll get to you in a second here.
Right.
But I just wanted to say that it just doesn't happen often that you get somebody that is, you know, of this stature, mm-hmm. who even at the age of 80, we lost too early. And I think when you look at this person on the most recent television appearances, you would think, boy, this person's going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
But Dolly Parton passed away today. And it is a gut punch for all of us in America because she was part of our culture. Everybody knew Dolly. Everybody liked Dolly. Well, there were people that didn't like country music, but it was hard not to like Dolly Parton. And it's another example of somebody that I actually had contact with in my career. And it is very, very sad to lose somebody of that stature. And obviously it's a shocker too, because they kept it from everybody as it was happening. I give them a big salute for that they were keeping
classy.
That,
yeah,
you know, when a celebrity goes and there's a long illness and you hear about that, it's a drag. And the thing that was interesting is the way they released the news today was kind of different on X, that that they did it that way. It mm-hmm. was very, very strange. But yeah, we'll have the details in the news that after an illness, Dolly Parton at the age of 80 passed away. And it sucks. Rob Spiewak, there. I just wanted to get the news out first before I defer to you.
I was talking today with my mom, and we were trying to come up with another current celebrity that no one has an axe to grind with. There's nobody that is as universally loved as Dolly. That is that's what we came away from it with.
Might be right.
And she used her powers for good. She donated so much money to charity without even seeking recognition for it. And Mike, you left out something really important. Wonderful entertainer, great singer, beloved, awesome theme park owner.
Yeah, and we have a couple of comments in there that, P.D. Sway, we get that you can mock death. Shut the fuck up for just a second, all right? I mean, it's like, the theme park going to go away. Boy, she had two things I really love. Shut up. Anyway, sometimes I tell the commenters to shut up.
It's understandable. And you know what? Anyone who wants to make fun of Dolly, I will say this. Too soon. Too soon.
Well, of course it is. I don't know. I think that there's a line that's used in show business that mm-hmm. is know the room. Did anybody know the room better than Dolly? I don't think so.
No.
Right?
You can't think of someone that could effortlessly work the Grand Ole Opry or the David Letterman show with equal skill.
Yeah. And then could be the sex symbol.
Yeah.
But be so disarming that... Yeah, you looked at her and you went, wow, look mm-hmm. at her. But at the same time, you put that away really quickly, too, because her personality was so overwhelming.
Huge.
And she was able, well, huge. And look, I mean, it was just, I don't know. I can't begin to go on with Dolly without just saying she could play anything. She could be she was a film star.
Yeah.
She was a country music star. She was a pop star. She was iconic.
But through all that, she was herself.
She was genuine, and that is what is so rare in a lot of showbiz. Even mm-hmm. the people that might make you think they're genuine, you kind of know in your heart of hearts that they're not. And look, when it comes to Dolly, the management of the image was spectacular. Mm-hmm. That we know how she painted herself up, and nobody really knew the private life of Dolly.
She was legendarily secretive about the relationship. I mean, even with her husband, but beyond
that,
because
there were rumors about it all the time that they had kind of an open relationship, but nobody cared.
She kind of addressed it by not addressing it. She was bigger than show business in so many ways. And one of my favorite quotes, Rob Mayer posted it today on Facebook, and it was without any sort of, accreditation, but this is what she said. She says, "I don't mind being called a dumb blonde because I'm not dumb. And by the way, I'm not blonde either." So it's just, the way to handle it. I mean, you can't beat that.
And I can say I don't have my picture. I think it's up in Maine. Mm-hmm. One of the ones I've always held on to from when I was a baby. I believe I was in my 20s mm-hmm. when I had the opportunity to interview Dolly Parton. And, she cemented my opinion that I still hold today that artists in that genre, at least back in the day, the country community, the country artists were so good to radio, and they were so good to all the people at the little stations as well as the big stations. And I was on a little bitty station.
They serviced them. I mean, that's the word.
And it was really, and I remember her stature. She was tiny. She was a tiny woman, and she didn't appear to be a tiny woman when you would see her on TV. And then what I remember was just in the brief, the charisma and the kindness came right out of her. She was very, very cool.
I had to guess on this, but when you were at that country station, was she promoting this record, the one that has "Here You Come Again" on it? Was that the one? It was 1977 or 8, maybe?
No, that would not have been that. That would not have been 77. No, that would have been after 19.
Let me see what the copyright is.
That would have been after 81. That would have been after 1981.
The copyright on this is, and I have to get out of my
like 82, 83, something like that. That's what it would have been.
That album came out in 77. I know it's a first press because it doesn't have a UPC code on it. It predates that. But that's when she had the "Here You Come Again." I guess that was her first sort of crossover-y hit.
Maybe. I don't really know. I know that it was hit after hit after hit. And then I think the entire nation discovered her as an actress in 9 to 5.
And
that
great.
Was the first big movie,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Rhinestone, she made with Sylvester Stallone, which was a bad Stallone movie, but she looked great in it.
Yeah, it was just it's a kick in the gut for people because you don't realize how much a celebrity means, but the thing that was cool, at least the way I felt about her, was that, I think you put it that way, that she would always do good. She was always doing good somewhere. And she was not nice to
call attention to herself. She just did good. That's what she liked to do.
I think if I can intellectualize it, I would describe it as I want to put this the right way.
Mm-hmm.
We as a country felt good about her being famous. I don't know if we do that with most celebrities. With most celebrities, we like to, you know, you always say you like to build them up and tear them down. We didn't like to tear Dolly down. We didn't want, we wouldn't have wanted to tear Dolly down. Liked having Dolly on that perch and having a theme park and having movies and film and records and all that stuff.
I think the only other celebrity who we love that we elevated is Jason Bateman.
I don't have any axe to grind with Jason Bateman, I don't think at all.
I've listened to his podcast. He's a little dicky on the podcast, I think.
That's his act.
That's because he's with his boys.
Well, you know what? Find a better act that doesn't make you look dicky.
I was in a hotel lobby. I don't know what the circumstances were, and I was hanging out with the lesser Dylan brother. The one that was on Entourage.
Yeah, Kevin Dillon.
And there were a couple other fringe LA guys.
Right.
And I became aware of the, you know, the, we always used to say men in their douchebag 30s.
Yeah.
20s and 30s, I'll include that. And that that douchedom, I think, really does float around Hollywood a lot. So
it's when catching. You get somebody, it's like COVID, really.
Yeah. I think when you get somebody like Dolly Parton, it's the rarity of that kind of personality to just blast through all of that. And I think what it seems to me that stars that do really, really well, where you're not really taking shots at them, are stars that protect their privacy with, ferociously.
Yeah.
And I believe she ferociously protected her privacy. As soon as you cross the Rubicon of letting people know where you're going and whose party you're at, you know, it diminishes you as a slave. It makes people, the population, kind of go, oh, God. I did it with Martin Short, who I adore, when we were looking at Martin Short only having celebrities
at his parties.
I kind of went, well, there's Tom Hanks and Martin Short doing shtick.
Right? Yeah. Privacy is cool. And also the fact that it was common knowledge, but she didn't beat this horse, that she came from literally nothing.
Oh,
literally
absolute,
nothing.
Absolute hillbilly.
And
the coat of many colors. That's a true story.
Mm-hmm. And that's why she has the work ethic, the constant work ethic. It says that she put out 49 studio albums and 956 unique songs. So
those are numbers like Elvis Presley. I mean, that's huge. That's an amazing amount of product.
And I think you have to look at the individual. And if you're wondering why we are spending so much time talking about Dolly, is because I am fascinated by her ability to do what she did, which I think if you could create a celebrity primer, I think you would include keep your private life as private as you possibly can. You know, just give them what the image is. That's what you want. That's the thing you want. Because if you go on a show, radio show, television show, any kind of show, and you bring the persona that got you famous or the character that got you famous, you're always going to leave appreciated. I give John Madden credit for that when he would come on the Don and Mike show, and John Madden would always be John Madden. The John Madden that was on the telecast for the NFL. And then another factor, I think another box you have to check, I don't think we ever heard about Dolly, you know, stumbling down a street after a late night party, right?
No. Kept it all private.
Kept it all private. I have no idea. I don't know whether she was a teetotaler or not.
I bet she occasionally had a drink of Shine.
But you know, maybe she was doing a big fatty when she would be at the end of it. Right? We wouldn't
could
know.
Could be.
We
right.
wouldn't
We'd
have
no
any idea.
We have no idea because all we think of when we think of her is, hey, great actress, great music,
Willie
great personality.
Nelson's identity. Is built on as much pot as it is on the road again. When you think about that, so you didn't have that factor, and then I'm like, what else is it that makes a Dolly Parton, that makes a beloved person that much. I think you have to be, when you make that kind of money, you get into a public trust situation where she goes and starts Dollywood. But Dollywood isn't simply a money-making opportunity for her. It's a chance to go in and put this business in the Smoky Mountains in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where she is going to revitalize the economy.
And bring the business in.
And bring the business in.
And
so
I've talked to more than one or two people that are theme park people, people that are in the business of theme parkery. And they go to Dollywood and they say, Disney could learn from this. It is so clean, so well run, and such a textbook great theme park. And she was part of all of the development of it. I mean, if something was sold there or a ride, she signed off on it. She approved it. And you're right. Her whole motivation was to business-wise revitalize that area. That's a noble cause.
And here's another thing. I would say, well, I don't know. You hear about legendary pricks, Steve Wynn out in Vegas, where there wasn't a detail he didn't manage. Well, including, you know, putting his hand on the boob of the person that cut his hair.
Yes.
Right, that kind of, but there, remember, you would always hear that. Or you hear, this is my team. I have a great team. You didn't even know where the... Was Dolly going through and meticulously picking the color schemes of the different rides and all? You know what I mean? You don't know that because that was guarded as well, which is cool.
And she hired a lot of her family. So a lot of people she already was close with and trusted.
Mm-hmm. And they had they just you couldn't, I don't know, maybe you could write a book about how to do it. BC Travis says Dolly was nice to everyone and never smeared anyone, but also wasn't complimentary about horrible people. That is a bingo right there.
But that's
BC
okay,
Travis.
That's okay.
Yeah, she had the confidence where, unlike me, she didn't have to pop off about everything that, she wanted everybody to know what her opinions were about all that.
If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Well, I think there are people that the vast majority of us, I include myself in that, make careers out of criticism and careers out of opinion about different pop culture and news and politics and all that. But boy, oh boy, when you got that, you know, that foundation, which was the music, no mistake about that. I think at the core of Dolly Parton, the songwriting ability, just amazing. So we've got a little Dolly that we can share with you right now. Let's start with Rob. You've got some of Dolly's hits that we could go through here, and we'll play enough of them to. Are we going to get our asses kicked?
If
by
we
doing
talk
this?
Over them, I think we'll be okay.
All right.
But this
F
one,
you. F you.
This is one that's important because people don't even realize that this is not originally a Whitney Houston song. And
was
she reused
the biggest
it.
The biggest hit that Whitney Houston ever had was written by Dolly Parton. This is her song. That's her version of it. I Will Always Love You.
And didn't it get an Oscar nod, if not a win, for The Bodyguard?
I have no memory of that. I don't remember. Would her biggest song be 9 to 5? Would that be her biggest pop song?
My gut tells me that was her biggest solo hit. I think her biggest hit was with Kenny Rogers, Islands in the Stream. Because I believe that was the biggest hit of calendar year, what would that be, 1984?
Okay.
It was a massive hit. Of course, this is Kenny. Mike, have you ever had his chicken?
Kenny Rogers' chicken. Do you think that when we're talking about Dolly Parton and Kenny, am I correct in remembering that there was speculation that they were a thing?
Yeah, well, they worked together a lot. They did a Christmas album. They did TV specials.
Yeah.
Here she comes on the harmony.
And to be a male singer to do a duet with that voice...
Gutsy. I mean,
no, it's just so cool to have her voice.
Yeah.
Because the high harmonies had to be phenomenal. Do you have 9 to 5?
I do, as a matter of fact.
That's my all-time favorite. I still
and
love that song.
Here we go.
I really do.
And I found something out fairly recently. I think we've discussed it on this show. The typewriter sound here
Yeah.
is her false fingernails on linoleum in the Air studio. or the recording cool studio.
That's cool. That is a cool detail. That's her at her absolute peak, in my opinion, right?
I agree.
Movies, television, and this wonderful film.
And just
film.
So catchy. I mean, this song you knew the second you heard it.
Probably Dabney Coleman at his all-time best, too,
yes.
Right? You know?
And Lily Tomlin at her hottest.
But what a great combination, James.
Yeah, I mean, great, great movie. And then also, I believe this could be considered her first mainstream crossover, and you can't argue this as a hit record.
Oh, absolutely. And she had that, I don't know, drama in her
yes,
voice in a song like this?
That's a great word
Listen
for
Listen to
it.
The drama in this voice. Here you come again. Just a tiny little... Just when I've begun to get tiny little voice. That she got every inch out of it. It was,
she did. She knew her. She knew her instrument.
Let's take a look at the real Dolly Parton on video. What do you have for us today, Josh?
Well, I've got a 60 Minutes clip, more recent clip, or we can go with the Johnny Carson show.
Let's start with Johnny Carson because I like Johnny Carson so much. Let's watch Dolly.
Well, I wrote this song because it's been real good for me ever since I started on your show. And you said one time, once I got to be real famous, I probably wouldn't come back on the show, but I always will. I'm here about as much as you are.
They had a chemistry.
They did.
Good friends can say that.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. We can say anything. But I was only kidding because everybody kids you about it.
Yeah.
I only like the show. Well, I think other people do a good job, but I only really like to watch it when you're on.
Thank you.
And I don't call it the Tonight Show. To me, it's the Johnny Carson show.
Everybody called it.
No, I'm serious.
What everybody called it.
That's what I thought it was called.
I'm going to pick it a little. As good as I can with his nails. But it's all in the words, and it's, I think it is. Now, it's not supposed to be too serious, so. I have come a long way from the hills of Tennessee, and I've worked hard to make the folks back home real proud of me.
Robbie, now, you're getting sadder like I am right
yes.
now.
No matter where I go, but I never really made it till the Johnny Carson show. Stardom since I was just a kid, a $1 million dream beneath this $13 wig. In my bell-bottom jumpsuits with my rhinestones all aglow, I became an overnight success from the Johnny Carson show.
The talent comes through too.
Oh my God,
the natural guitar playing and singing.
Silk and satin frills. From a 48-foot mobile home to a mansion on the hill.
The composure.
From moonshine to rare wine, from a Packard to a Rolls. But I never really made it till the Johnny Carson show. Now there's only one small problem. Sometimes I get disturbed. The folks sometimes get me confused with Monty Rock III. But still, I think it's worth it. And I just thought you should know that I'll always owe a special thanks to the Johnny Carson show. I went from pop beads to diamonds, from car coats to fur, from Kmart to Gucci's, from here no telling where, from hillbilly heaven to a penthouse on the coast, but I never really made it till the Johnny Carson show.
Wow.
Oh, the chemistry. Great, great clip, Josh.
Really good.
Really good one. Now, I'm not sure what year they did a 60 Minutes profile on her. It might have been more recently, right?
I think it's much more recent, yes.
Much more recent. Let's see a clip from 60 Minutes with
Why
Adele.
Why don't you retire? I said, and do what?
Yeah, that's a recent
what?
One.
What does that even mean?
Sit on your pile
I
of money.
Oh, there's the dick.
I always count my blessings more than I count my money. I don't work for money, never did. I just wanted, it was the art. It was the job. I love the work. And I've done well, and I'm thankful for it.
Wow.
It
makes me a little misty to see it, because there are so many people that can sing, and there are so many fine singers, but there are not many voices that are distinctive and powerful and just dead on. I'd say Julie Andrews in her prime was one, But I will also say that clip of Dolly Parton singing essentially a novelty song with a cheap guitar. And make
she
no mistake,
she probably wrote it the night before.
She was
that talented.
A cheap guitar, but yeah.
Right.
She
so smooth
sounds so
when she
good.
Loses her spot.
Yo, that was great.
Yeah. And that's interesting you bring that up, Jack, because that's when I mentioned composure, because she is on national television live, and she's just the ultimate confident performer, which, you know, I don't talk about this a lot, but I think that when you talk about a lot, so many artists that were, you know, just fraught with substance abuse problems, a lot of that fear came from stage fright.
Yep.
Where, you know, when you have to go out and do these venues, even if you're an experienced performer, it's still the grind that maybe you do it for. But you look at somebody like another country performer, like a George Jones, who was terribly shy and had stage fright.
I think it's prevalent, especially in early days of country music.
Yes.
Because the dives were horrible that they'd have to play.
And
they should be tuned up and
they would be loaded, and it would be and Elvis Presley, the greatest example of all, of somebody that, you know, was so...
Felt like they needed it.
Yeah, they had to have that to go on there. And, you know, it's amazing. Do you have any video of Dolly?
I don't. I pulled those two clips. Rob, I know you just did this with Elvis.
Yeah.
But I think you should put together a Rob Radio for Dolly.
I'd love to do that. I think that'd be fun because there's so many songs that need to be explored. And just as a tribute, let's do that this Friday. We'll do that this Friday instead of the TMOS Classic. It's a good idea, Josh.
That'd be great.
The idea of Dolly is something that I will be thinking about for a good chunk of tonight. I'm gonna stay with that because that's what happens when we lose somebody like that.
And shocking, too. I mean, it would be different if we had a little bit of a road up.
That last clip on 60 Minutes, did you look at that and kind of say, she doesn't look that
well, good. I mean, you know.
She's 80. I mean, you know.
Had I known, I probably wouldn't have in the past made fun of her false teeth, which has been something that happened. But, you know, that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
She's aging, and I feel bad about that in retrospect, but even though she was aging, she looked like a damn good 80-year-old. I mean, and she was still out there. We saw her not a year ago welcoming the audience and talking to the audience for her Broadway show.
Yeah.
Remember that? She was on stage on Broadway killing it.
Yeah.
That's less than a year ago.
Yeah, that's and I don't know, and if the way the family plays it, we may never know what the details were. You know, you get sick when you're 80; it's a lot different than when you get sick at 50.
Yeah,
so you don't know, you know, what's going to happen. And just to get off this Dolly Parton, you know, mourning situation that we're in right now. As far as getting older, I wrote this down today. Because once again, it showed up on my algorithm, and I wanted to share this with all of you, something I plan to train for.
Now, are you going to fight a woman?
No. No, but I watched a great bare-knuckle one. I think some of them only go like three rounds.
You know what's really
sad?
Because
they're brutal rounds.
And they're not going to really focus on this, but it was bare-knuckle boxing that killed Dolly Parton.
Before she became a pop star, she was a bare-knuckle fighter.
And those injuries linger, man. They do.
So I'm trying to think over the last few months, I've gotten this on my feet. It's a doctor that comes on, and it's the same one I saw like just the other day, where she talks about the five things that that old people in doctor's offices, when they see them, that the signs that they are not... that they will have a higher mortality rate than other old people. One of them was your walking speed.
Okay.
So your gait.
Yeah.
When you're going from point A to point B. I am killer at that. I do really, really well. I outwalk my wife when we're going into a store.
When you read this piece, initially... It was probably written for people to watch out for other people, but you initially have internalized it. Yes,
I take it to heart 100%.
That's good. Okay, good, right. Good.
I might not remember the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Cardiovascular health is another one. I'm probably even with all the outdoor activity I do, it's not real cardiovascular activity. Golfing is getting in a cart, going out there, and I don't walk a lot of golf courses. I spend most of the time.
You do a lot of steps, though, I bet.
Oh, I do a ton of steps.
And
I
mean, so many doctors say cardio is important, but steps are just as important. Just getting out there and moving. Yeah.
I'm trying to think about. I should have written them down.
Was it memory?
No. Shut up.
Speaking of old people in doctor's offices, the reason we're recording late today is I had to go to a doctor's office.
Are we going to be able to get a report on your doctor's visit? Can we do that when we come back?
If you want, it's very boring. But
if it's boring, that means
if you're healthy, we don't care.
Exactly. It was a follow-up on the infection I had, and so they were checking that out. But the guy in front of me, this old man with his old wife, when I'm waiting just to check in, and I want to be on time so I can get out on time and get here and do the show, he says, well, he said to come back in 2 weeks. And the receptionist said, well, he's not in office 2 weeks from today. We can do 2 days after that. He said, well, that's longer than 2 weeks. And then he points to his wife and said, and she's got an examination across the street that day. Hold on. And he opens up some little bag that he has with him and pulls out a full desk size calendar, like a 12 by 18 inch calendar. And he's flipping through. Every day has something written on it. And she said, what if we did Friday? No, I've got to go for the other doctor on that day, and that's at 9:30.
Were there medical issues?
No, because when it was done.
He did not appear to be infirmed in
any way? No, his gait was fantastic. And he looked at me as he was leaving. He said, I'm real sorry that I held you up, but as you get older, there's a lot of appointments to juggle. And I just wanted to say, you know what you got to get, pal? An iPhone. Because you can put them all on your phone, and it's easy as pie. But, right. I mean, Mike, there were Post-its, and there was a pen clip to this calendar. And he was, no, that won't do. And then the wife says, I could reschedule the cardiology appointment.
Of course he was there with his mommy.
Yeah. Oh.
Of course they're always there with their mommy.
Joined at the hip.
Drive.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I am so happy that I don't do things with my mommy in tow.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people to do. So getting back, I don't remember the other ones, but the last one, and I wrote this down, something I have to train for.
Okay.
And Are you excited
about this?
No. Because we've talked about it before on the show, and it's something you can't do either.
What's that?
And this is, they say that one of the best signs of an older person that is going to have good longevity is someone that is able to get up off the floor without using their hands and arms. They can just get up off the floor without having to support themselves with it. I don't know how long I haven't been there. Certainly when I was carrying a lot more weight, I wasn't able to do that. But I am sitting there saying to myself,
does it count if someone helps you, but you still don't use your arms?
No, like I was working in the kitchen. We have a little closet off the kitchen. They call it a little pantry.
Yeah.
And the pantry, when Michael was little, this is how long this shelf has been damaged, he stepped up on one of the pantry shelves.
Oh, and used it like as a ladder.
Tore away from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we have never...
Sure, Josh, it was Michael who did that.
And, I can get to the top of the pantry. I'm fine with that. Shut up. And then... So,
I thought with your cathedral ceilings.
I'm down. Did you just like snot on yourself or something?
No, it was a little spit. That's
okay.
All. No,
and so I'm down like on the floor. All the work is down on it's about 7 inches between the last shelf and the floor. And I got to go in, and the shelving is attached by a screw to the bracket that is also attached to a wall anchor to go in, and I got to go in and redo all of them. So
horrible.
I am flat on the floor. And then, you know, when I would extricate myself from underneath this 7 inches,
right?
And then B, get to the back into, and you go, oh, you got to sort of be, you can do it by practicing by getting up on your knees, getting from the floor to your knees, which is not easy. I urge all senior citizens to give this a try. I don't think there are a lot of senior citizens over the age of 65, 70 that are able to pull this off unless you're a real featherweight.
Well, we'll add this to the morning exercises of the cruise.
Okay. All right.
When we meet for calisthenics?
Yes, for the morning meeting.
I forget. Does this come before or after the prayer breakfast?
I'm trying to think. That's January 21st, if I would be able to pull that off.
It would be a great closer for the final podcast, Mike.
I'm retiring, but right I can now still on get our up stage. Off the ground.
No, you can't either, right, Rob?
I don't think I could. No.
Yeah. Well, you've tried it once on the show, didn't you try it?
Yeah, and I believe I failed, but that was some pounds ago. But I haven't gotten that much better, so I don't think so.
Do you want to give it a try right now and see if you can? I mean, more than anything. I mean, I have tried it. No, I mean, you can either.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'll try.
All right.
Yeah. There we go. This is where we get the nice clip where we get to see just the forehead as he goes down.
You can't use, like, the table, and you can't
There's the shot Josh wanted right there. You can't.
There
okay.
it is.
All right. Okay, so I'm down.
You got to get a one. Hold on. Get a one shot of him. All right.
All right. So I'm on my knees, not touching anything. Foot down. Hold on. There. Okay. Not pretty, but I did it.
That's good. Okay. You did it. I didn't see you grappling for anything.
Now it's Mike's turn.
No, I'm not doing it. I'd be embarrassed. I'd be totally embarrassed if I did that.
You'd be doing the show down on the floor the rest of the
day. No, I mean, I really, it's a between, now I have two fake hips from my, you know, years and years ago. But
they don't
give you
an extra bounce?
They don't. They give me extra pain.
They've always hurt.
You don't talk about it like when you get a joints replay. Yeah. They always hurt. They're never the same.
Well, I assume that once you got it and it healed, it was like relief from pain.
Maybe some people.
I thought it'd be like you're a half robot.
Well, you remember,
it just slides up and down.
You and I were riding those mini bikes when I got that hip surgery. You know,
I told you. You see what happened, Josh, and this is before you were with the show. I know some people go to barber college and dental college. Mike went to hip doctor college and got an undergraduate who did the procedure. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. It's on my list, and maybe I'll let you know if I'm ready to do it. I'll do it, and if I'm not ready to do it, I won't talk about it anymore. That's just the way it goes.
I think it would be really something to shoot for January.
That's exciting.
It really would. And remember, you can only see it.
We sold some cabins there, boy.
You can only see it if you buy a ticket, folks.
All right. We got tidbits coming up here, and later on in the show, a food hero. That Rob has pointed out.
You're going to love this. This guy knows his shit.
And the underwear challenge. Trumping both Rob and me, Mr. Soroka, after we do tidbits, there may have been a lot of people, an Uber cheater. And I'm not talking about somebody who cheated on the fare. I'm talking about somebody who was cheating.
Yeah. And Mike, I might have been an accomplice.
Just so you know, the guy that is my food hero would not pass any underwear challenge.
It's gross. We'll take a break. Come back with Tibbetts right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Scoop, burp. Sorry. Some of the greatest things in history have come from great pairings, but none of them can compare to the newest partnership that's the talk of the town, also the county. It's the one you've been waiting for, the Mike O'Mara Show and Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. It's your chance to try the award-winning Jot Hot Wing Sauce. It's easy to bring the great taste of Jimmy's to your own home, no matter where you live. Just go to jimmystavern.com and click on Jot Wing Sauce to order a bottle of the world's best buffalo wing sauce. You can also click the link at tmospodcast.com. Jot Hot pairs perfectly with anything and everything. May we recommend wings? Celery, blue cheese, an ice cold beverage. It's like having Jimmy in your own home. Well, maybe. Coloring book not included. Even better, you can support the show and save a dollar when you enter the code TMOS at checkout. All hail the king of the wings. Go to jimmystavern.com and stock up. Support Jimmy, support us. It'll be okay. And remember, please sauce responsibly. Absolutely. Let's get right to it. We got the tidbits for you today, ladies and gentlemen. And as we spent a good portion of the program discussing, we have lost a treasure. Dolly Parton has died at the age of 80. The country music legend passed away in Nashville after a period of health challenges. And it's just a drag for all
of us. You know, even the way that they announced it and handled it on Twitter, that was admirable.
I agree.
It was just low-key and classy and businesslike, and it was without, you know, it was just, there was no hype, there was no nonsense with it. It just made me feel like they were prepared for this.
And, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It looked too prepared. Like maybe Dolly approved this ahead of
time. No, that's the very first thing he says, that she asked me to do this.
I missed that line. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what the relative, maybe a nephew, I'm not sure.
So she could still be alive.
Well, it was her nephew, he said, and he said nephew. She asked me to do this. Mm-hmm. But my question is, was this video made 3 weeks ago?
Wow.
Or did he make it this morning?
Oh, that's a good point.
It's interesting. She was one of the few entertainers who seemed to be universally liked. Country fans loved her. Pop fans loved her. And even people who hated country music had a soft spot for her. She wrote and recorded hits including Jolene, 9 to 5, I Will Always Love You. But her legacy may be just as much about her charity work as her music. Her imagination library has provided free books to millions of children. She also built Dollywood into a major Tennessee tourist attraction. Tributes are pouring in from musicians, actors, and political figures across the spectrum. And, well, you know how we feel about Dolly, and safe home to her.
You reminded me of something that I should have mentioned earlier. The song, I Will Always Love You, she wrote and submitted it to Elvis Presley. She wanted Elvis to record that song, wrote it in his range and in his style. And she didn't realize that at that point in Elvis's career, if he took a song from an outside writer, he'd want the publishing. It was his deal. I'll record your song. It was the Colonel's deal, actually. But you have to give me the publishing.
So that's how old the song was, huh?
Yeah. Wow. So she declined that, and Elvis never recorded it. But if you listen to that song, the Whitney version or her version, that really could be an Elvis song, especially a latter-day Elvis song.
And I think he would have fucked it up.
Yeah, probably. He was talent.
No. You can't. Dolly Parton and Elvis Presley.
He would have fucked it up as much as Whitney Houston fucked it up.
What is wrong with you?
You think Whitney's a better singer than Elvis? Ho, ho, ho. No way.
Why are we even having this discussion?
Because we're grieving and it's hard.
No, but why are you so obsessed with Elvis Presley?
Because he's the greatest singer of the century.
Well, all right, we could do a whole show on that. That is,
you would never take the time to listen to one of his mid-1970s albums when he was exploring his big voice. That song would have been perfect for him. Sadly, he wasn't getting great material.
What is his big voice?
Well, his big voice is when, not his rock and roll voice, not his like low sexy voice, but his big voice. Like if you almost operatic, you can hear it a little bit in the song Surrender, It's Now or Never, but it got much better in the 70s. His big voice, he explored.
Well, today we're mourning Dolly Parton, and she didn't die on the toilet.
No, she did not.
So there we go.
Neither did Elvis.
Why did I have that last word? The trade war between the United States and Canada is getting even more expensive. Canada announced retaliatory tariffs on about $20 billion worth of American goods with duties of 15%, 25%, and 50%. God damn, on roughly 700 products. Mm-hmm. The new tariffs are scheduled to take effect September 8th, and President Trump added a little extra weirdness to the dispute by saying he is considering renaming Lake Ontario Lake America.
Great. But won't that confuse everybody with the Gulf of America?
Apparently, we are now fighting over geography, too. So there.
But I mean,
but it's
the
also 2 weeks out, so they can all back out of it.
But think
they're
of all the
just
great,
threatening now.
All the great Canadian things are going to get too expensive. The mints, the ginger ale, the bacon.
Maple syrup.
Yes, exactly.
That was already expensive.
Too expensive. That's right.
It doesn't all come from Vermont. A lot of it comes from Ontario.
Yeah, and a lot of it, if you buy Canadian maple syrup, a lot of it's poisoned. Because
the bacon!
That's what I said, Mike, the Canadian bacon.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about the fact that you compared the voice of Elvis Presley to the voice of Whitney Houston.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't really go with comparing because, you know, hers is not as good as his.
You know what?
We should just
you
move
really...
On.
No, I'm not gonna give up on this.
Okay.
They were both drug addled.
Yeah.
But when you talk about her smash hits,
yeah,
and her instrument at its peak.
Sure.
And both of their instruments at their peak,
mm-hmm.
I think she is a a generational talent.
Maybe, well, okay, I'll give her that. But maybe if her instrument stayed at its peak even better, she would have as many hit records as Elvis did.
Well,
but in
that,
fact,
look,
he had probably 10
that,
times.
If you're going to use that as the barometer, I'm talking
about... I'll take
about
any barometer.
The quality of voice, you know, by itself. And the ability, the range. He didn't have the range.
Sure he did.
He didn't have range?
Yes, he did. He could hit ultra-low notes and ultra-high notes.
How'd he handle the middle?
The middle he was also perfect at. I mean, I'm not saying that Whitney Houston...
Give me a song by Elvis Presley where the range is, as you like to call it, operatic.
Operatic, the song Hurt.
What is that?
Mike?
What is that? No, don't be snarky.
Well, you're being just as snarky to start.
What the fuck is Hurt, Rob?
Hurt was a medium charting song.
I know you love Elvis and Jerry Lewis, two American icons, but really, what is Hurt? I don't know the song.
Hurt was a medium charter that came out in 1975 or so. He recorded it.
Amazed I don't know it.
Yeah. Okay, I don't understand when you ask for an example, then I give it, then I explain it,
because
and then you shut it down.
It's not a big hit.
Well, you just wanted an example of his operatic voice.
Yeah, give me one that everybody that I would know and everybody would know.
It's Now or Never. Every bit as good as Mario Lanza's version and bigger.
Mario Lanza, the opera singer?
Mike, what did you fucking say? Operatic?
Hey, fuck off, Rob.
No, you said it.
Sorry, I'm retiring, dude.
No, don't give me that.
Sorry, you're going to have to go it alone.
No, you just said operatic is what you wanted, and I give you...
Mario Lanza did It's Now or Never?
Well, when he did it, it was called There's No Tomorrow, but it's the same melody.
You're in the weeds here with me. I'm just saying, Whitney Houston, when you hear her, the range, when she hits that high note, I think that's pretty iconic.
It is very good. It is. But I think Elvis is better. I'm not trying to diminish her. I'm just trying to put her in rank with Elvis Presley.
Well, I don't think that you can put Whitney Houston and Elvis Presley in the same box. And you were kind of mocking... Like it was ridiculous for me to say that Whitney Houston had an iconic voice.
It's,
you kind of poo-pooed that, and I think Whitney Houston did have an iconic voice.
Well, she, you know what? I did not intend to poo-poo the quality of her voice. Her voice is great, but I still think Elvis was better.
In what way?
Okay, the quality, the tone of his voice, his understanding of songs, the variance of the moods he could do in different songs, be it rock and roll or country or operatic or standards or anything like that.
So you think It's Now or Never is operatic?
I do.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure if that sounds like an operatic song.
I would have to check. I think the melody actually is an old... It's an old Italian song. I don't know if it's an opera song, but it is. It's got its feet in opera. And then he also would, there are big voice songs all through his life.
B.C. Travis, Whitney Houston didn't die from pooping.
That's true.
Well, I believe
she died from smoking crack.
But it says they both died from pooping. I don't know what that means.
I don't think whether or not Elvis was actually straining his stool or he just died in the bathroom, feces related.
Whatever. All right. Okay. So we got the Elvis tribute in. We did.
And I didn't mean it to be a tribute.
Dolly Parton died, and we're doing an Elvis tribute. I don't know.
I had tied Dolly to Elvis and Elvis's bad business practices.
Yeah, you know what? And when you tied Dolly Parton to Elvis Presley, it kind of diminished Dolly Parton to me.
I thought I was actually diminishing Elvis because he wouldn't do the song without ceding the publishing.
Oh, God. All right. Let's say, you know what? As far as iconic personalities, certainly Elvis, probably one of the most iconic celebrities we will ever have. And so is Dolly. That's all I can say.
And I will. Yeah, I agree on both. And
Josh,
I think
do you have anything to add since Rob and I have been going at this stupid What Rob Loves segment?
No.
It's always What the Fuck Rob Loves. That's it.
They all died in the bathroom.
That's right. One in a tub, one on the toilet.
Oh, okay. That's valid. See,
you want to mention anything about Paul? Anything? Do you want to throw Paul McCartney into the mix at all?
Not until he passes.
Not much of a singer, Paul McCartney.
How about Jerry Lewis? Anything you want to
horrible
say about Jerry?
Horrible singer.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else?
I think we're good.
Okay. Let's move on, please. Thank you very much. There's a new health tech development that sounds like something from a science fiction movie. The FDA has authorized Abbott's Libre Duo. It is a wearable device that can monitor glucose and also detect rising ketone levels. The ketone monitoring is important because dangerously high ketones can signal a diabetic ketoacidosis. I don't know what that
is. Now, one of those trendy diets in the past, like in the past 20 years, wasn't there a diet that was all about boosting your ketones so you could burn fat?
I know that ketones burn fat, and that's why we have Atkins and protein diets.
Yeah, and that you would actually have like pee strips, right, where you would check your ketones on the pee strip.
Well, the idea here is to give people an early warning without requiring an entirely separate monitoring system. It's another example of wearable devices moving beyond simply counting steps and tracking heart rates. So that's good. Other than that, I don't know a hell of a lot about it. The U.S. Open Mixed Doubles Tournament has already produced a big upset. I include this story simply because of the challenge to say the names. Okay. Novak Djokovic. I hope I got that right.
Right.
He's the biggie of all of them. And Aryna Sabalenka, two of the biggest names in tennis, lost their opening match. They were beaten by Katerina Siniakova and Henry Patton. With the deciding
with the exception of Henry, are they all Russian?
Maybe. Okay. The deciding tiebreak ended 10-2. The loss doesn't end Djokovic's or Sabalenka's singles tournaments, but it does mean their experiment as a mixed doubles super team lasted exactly one match. And apparently that is something big in tennis circles. So there's that. I don't know much about it.
Well, I like any time a Russian loses.
Mm-hmm. What do you think Elvis would have thought about that? The NFL is already looking ahead to a big change in how we watch college football. ESPN has announced that Disney Plus subscribers in the United States will get simulcasts of two ESPN ABC college football games each week this fall. This is another step in the continuing collapse of the old idea that sports belongs on one particular television channel. We're losing that between streaming services, cable, apps, and social media. The biggest challenge for fans may soon be figuring out which subscription they need to watch the game they actually want. And that's really what's happening.
That's for everything, though.
Yeah, but are you bothered by the fact that they have the NFL and big national sports organizations are getting so involved with college sports, which used to be a lot purer?
The whole thing with the way it used to be, I think, for consumers, is that you used to know what network had the NFL, what network had MLB, what network had the college games. It was ABC with Keith Jackson back in the day. Mm-hmm. And now it's all over the place. And it's really hard sometimes to actually find your team. And when you go to preseason football, and you're trying to find out who, I mean, it's
not
even
always televised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. So
Did you say the NFL was involved in this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's let me go back.
Why is
on
the
this,
NFL dictating what college football does?
Because they want to control everything else.
I know they want the college to be a breeder ground for them, so they don't have to pay
NFL,
minors or anything.
The sentence is written in such a way where it looks like they're keeping an eye on it. The NFL is already looking ahead to a big change in how we watch college football. And I think the reason it's said is because you're going to see that
model. You're going to see the NFL change.
Yeah, because there'll be more people that are ponying up the money to do that, I think. You know,
well, and we're already seeing the NFL on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays.
Right.
End of the season, they go to Fridays and Saturdays.
Exactly.
So I think they're probably going to mirror that model simply because they're going to monetize the NFL more.
If the NFL is at all involved, it makes money for the NFL. Make no mistake, this is what they do.
Hold on, we're getting an appearance here. What? Are you? Oh, something happened. Good. My son has just come into the studio. How was your golf match today?
I did good.
You did good. Is that why you came in like that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah.
To the
how
guys?
Good?
How's everybody doing?
Get out of here! Thank you. Get out of here, you.
Don't we get any more details than good?
No, he's got his tryout tomorrow. He played with his buddy today to get ready for the tryout tomorrow.
Okay, that's good.
You do well?
I went even.
You went even par?
On 9.
Okay. All right, good. For the whole 9?
Yeah, on Stony Brook.
Okay, we'll talk about it after the show. Your drives were great.
I went this.
He's just walks in.
Get that boy out of school, Mike, and get him on a course.
That's it.
Which tees?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know. I'll find that out later. So,
how does that make you feel that he shot par on 9? Does that make you proud, or does it make you say, I can't believe he's doing better than me?
I'm happy he's doing stuff. And as long as he's happy, I'm happy.
Okay.
I wrote down something else about that'll kill me, and that's my son fighting with my wife. If that's what's going to kill me.
Oh.
Yeah. My father used to say, my dad used to say when Kathy and I, my sister and I would fight, that, this is why war started. This is the one thing I can't say. And my father hated conflict in the house.
Right.
And that is, kind of when he's being disrespectful to his mom and she's upset because of it. And I'm trying to get in the middle and do something that I'm really not cut out to do, which is be a peacemaker. I'm a trouble causer.
Yeah.
I'm not a peacemaker.
Does he ever fight with you, or does he know not to pick that scab?
Oh, he gives the disrespect. You have kids. It's an equal opportunity disrespect.
I'm not going to name which kid is which, but I will say one of my kids fought exclusively with one of us and not the other. And it's just weird somehow. And I think it has to do with like personalities going head to head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a bedrock situation for fighting.
I can ask you, did Julia fight more with Carrie or more with you?
Julia wasn't a fighter.
Okay, so did Robert fight more with you or more with Carrie?
Robert fought with Carrie.
Okay.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. To a point, remember, legendarily on the Dulles Toll Road at 65 miles an hour, he undid his car seat and threw it at her when he was like 3 years old. I mean, this was a kid with a temper.
I remember that story.
Oh, my God.
I remember, like at his worst juvenile. But he'd been through it, right? Because he'd been through the
cancer
stuff.
But still. Yeah.
He wanted to show he had his strength back.
I mean, the boy is 6'7", and people say, well, why isn't he playing basketball? I say, because he's a hothead, and he fouls out all the time. All the time.
All right.
He's a hothead. He can't do it. And so I'm just wondering, but his personality, even though he looks more like me, his personality is more like his mom's. And I'm wondering if that similarity is what causes the friction.
Okay. All right. And who fought more with you?
Actually, you.
Me.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was it. I teed that one up for you. finally today, people in Atlanta looked up this morning and saw what appeared to be a giant jellyfish floating through the sky. It wasn't an alien invasion at the beginning of the end. It was the exhaust cloud from a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket that launched from Florida. Under the right conditions, the rocket's exhaust expands high in the atmosphere and creates a huge, glowing, jellyfish-like shape that can look exactly like the sea creature. So, if you saw one this morning, don't panic. Elon Musk has not yet figured out how to launch a jellyfish. And on one added note, the greatest version of the national anthem at a sporting event was probably Whitney Houston's national anthem.
Mike, I agree, and I would say it without hesitation.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%.
Right. More hit records, though, by Elvis.
Yeah.
Right?
Longer career, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he took longer to...
To die.
Overdose. I don't know whether that's
Mike, what he did is he took his time killing himself.
That's true. That's true. And man, you do defend your people that you like. You like these
Well, I defend it if I think I'm right.
Yeah.
It's a pretty strong opinion, I hold.
It's a shame that you're so misguided.
It's sports to Rob. Like cheering for the Red Sox.
It is really. It is sports to Rob. Is he your all-time fave?
Yeah, I think so. I think ahead
bigger
of the
than
Beatles.
Paul. You have to choose.
Yeah.
You have to take Paul or Elvis to a deserted island.
Elvis would be alive, right?
No, this is the music. You are only able to take, only take one music. Person's music.
Elvis in a second. Okay. Absolutely, because you got so many eras of his career, and the live albums themselves are fantastic. I could do just with the live albums.
All right, well, we'll continue on this. I want to hear about the Uber situation.
Me too.
They say balance is the key to life, and Soul nailed it with their new mood gummies. Do you need a pick-me-up, a wind-me-down, or something right in the middle? Soul has a gummy for every moment. Uplift brings a bright, social, energizing buzz, perfect for a daytime plans or beating that afternoon slump. If you're ready to shut it down, Mellow is perfect. And by the way, these are names that I'm talking about here of the different products. Mellow is perfect for cozy nights, kicking back and fully unplugging, and for that just right anytime vibe. Balance gives an easy, versatile feel, especially nice with your favorite podcast. You know, three moods, three perfectly crafted formulas, same great taste,
I've heard a rumor that there are occasionally teachers that take balance during the day because it helps them deal with ornery students. I'm not going to name any names. But yeah, these are great for anybody in the workplace. If you're up against a lot of stuff, take one. You'll be very happy you did.
Soul is a wellness brand that makes delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products designed to make feeling good simple. Their new mood gummies have precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable effects so you can choose how you want to feel while staying in control. Make today a good day and get yourself some Soul gummies. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. Groovy, baby.
Super groovy.
All right, so both you guys in the new economy, everybody's got their side hustles, and both you guys have taken up the Uber thing. Josh was the pioneer, and then Rob jumped on board. You said yesterday you were going to drive yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I did about, I got about $25 an hour yesterday. I got one really good fare from Leesburg all the way into Alexandria. So that was big money. That was a good
one. How many hours did you log in the vehicle yesterday?
Just under 4 hours.
Okay, and you did the same thing recently.
I did yesterday afternoon. Spent probably 2.5 hours in the car. Okay. A little under what I've been making in the past, but it's a Monday afternoon. I didn't want to go.
So you were doing afternoon. I know you like to do the evenings.
I like the evenings, but I was doing afternoon.
Okay.
The cool thing about both of you doing this is this, to me, is a very rich source of content.
It is. You meet so many people.
And you don't have to, you know, destroy anyone's anonymity. You can simply discuss anything interesting that happens. And you win the prize, Mr. Soroka, as far as something interesting happening.
Well, yesterday I picked someone up from their home. And it was saying I was taking them to a Circle K, I don't know, probably 5-6 miles away.
Okay.
So I assume
it's a convenience store, right?
Yeah, I assume it's an employee. Because often I do that where I'm dropping them off at jobs or picking them up. So I picked the woman up. And we start driving, and I do the typical, how's your day going, whatever. And she says, fine, doesn't say much. Then a little
This is a lady, I see. I immediately assumed it was a dude.
No, this is a lady.
A gentleman.
And then she says, you know, I'm going to the Circle K because I have to get some cash. And she goes, then if you could take me about another mile to the hotel, I'll just pay you in cash. Rather than it show up in the Uber app.
Okay, that is way sus.
And that
is that legal in the Uber app?
I'm sure it's against the rules.
It's against Uber rules. Against the rules. Now, yesterday I did drop someone off at a beauty parlor, and then by the time I got out of the parking lot, I got the same lady. I got called back. She was just picking up a package there. So if she had gone into Circle K and then asked for another Uber ride, you might have been assigned.
Well, and they can do this thing. When you schedule an Uber, you can have it stop at multiple places. Like yesterday, I picked up a lady. Then I went to the daycare to pick up her son, then dropped them both off at a place.
Okay.
And I've done it in the past where I pick someone up from work, and we swing by 7-Eleven because they put it in the thing. They grab some snacks, and then I take them home.
What do you mean they put in the thing? What is that?
Their route.
In Uber, they say, hey, I'm going home. but I want to stop here on the way home. So it pops up and tells me that's where we're going. We're going home, but we're going to stop by the gas station first.
So you pick up the lady at what obviously is her residence, and then she takes you to the Circle K and gets legitimately gets cash out of a cash machine.
From what she told me.
And then says, can you take me a mile down to a hotel, and I'll pay you in cash. And
did she ask for you to use your body to Uber her to the room?
No.
Okay,
no, and
good.
This is where I was debating, do I just ditch her here at the Circle K?
Right.
Or do I drive her down the street? So while I'm driving there, she looks up the hotel in her Uber app and says, Uber says from the Circle K to the hotel is $6. I will pay you $10.
So she's already been in the app deep enough to find out the rate.
Yes.
So, but she's not
sure
using
to set
Uber.
A rate that I'll pay you a little bit more to go an extra mile off the books.
This whole thing smells like it last does, week's fish.
Well, and so, you obviously thought there was something hinky going on, right?
Oh, I instantly thought something's going on. Like, why does she not want a record of going to the hotel in her Uber app?
Yeah.
Now, she was nice, so I decided I would go ahead and do that for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I dropped her off at the hotel. I got paid $10
in
cash.
Hold on, Josh. Hold on. We have to go back on something. Rob said that Dolly pitched I Will Always Love You to Elvis. It says here, Dolly wrote I Will Always Love You for Porter Wagner.
Could be. But well, I know that she pitched it to Elvis.
Hold on. My knowledge of that song, she didn't write it for Porter Wagner. She wrote it about Porter Wagner.
Ah, okay. That could
be. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. That song was because she'd had a little tryst with him.
Yeah.
I think
he was really key in advancing
her
career.
This is not about singing the song.
Right.
At least that's what I think. Back to the Uber. Sorry about that.
ChatGPT says that Dolly talked to Elvis and got really close to I Will Always Love You until Tom Parker pushed about the publishing and she backed out.
By the way, Tom Parker's
what Rob said was true.
Super dick. I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's your hero that he kind of...
That he killed.
Yeah,
killed him.
With Dr. Nick and all that crap.
But Priscilla Presley told Dolly that Elvis sang I Will Always Love You to her when they were leaving the courthouse after their divorce.
Well, Priscilla is a liar and a cheat. And also, she's had a lot of plastic surgery. So you take that as...
Wow.
He's protecting.
She's dead too, Rob.
No, Priscilla's not dead.
Rob, I have the same passion...
Their daughter, that's Lisa Marie, is dead.
Lisa Marie is dead. She was lovely.
Okay. All right, wait, isn't it Priscilla? I thought Priscilla was also, or...
No. Priscilla is like 95% silicon, but still alive.
Okay. Why such hatred for Priscilla?
Because she's very revisionistic about her history, and the more people die, the story changes that she becomes more of a victim and a hero in the story.
Well, I mean, don't you think it was kind of pedophile-y to,
sure,
take up
I do.
With her when Elvis picked her up at 14 years
but
of age?
Compare the Elvis and Me movie that was on TV when the book came out to the Priscilla movie that came out like 2 years ago. Same source material, but a totally different theme where she is more of a victim. And you know what? I don't want to
really
talk about it.
Wow. I mean, you're absolutely right. This is
sensitive.
His sports.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is when someone tells me Cal Ripken wasn't a good baseball player. He just played a lot of games.
Okay.
It's the same argument.
And also, Priscilla Presley was a lousy baseball player.
And then she would get cash at the Circle K and then go. So, you go along with it.
So
I'm
I went
trying
along
to
with
balance
it.
A show that has gotten completely out of control.
I know,
today.
And that's on me. I'm
it
sorry.
It is on you.
I'm sorry.
Right, so Josh, what happened?
I waited there. She left her purse and everything in the car, which meant I couldn't just run off. So
Weird.
Then she came back. And I drove her to the hotel, dropped her off. She gave me $10, and I got out of there. The hotel was less than a mile, maybe half a mile away. So it was about a two-minute drive.
If you had to characterize the hotel, because, I mean, some of the best hotels are very close to Circle K's.
It was a pretty nice hotel.
Okay. Was it a name brand that we would recognize?
I believe it was a Hampton Inn.
All right, Bruins rules. He's still talking about Priscilla Presley.
Nice beaver.
Okay, sorry.
That's true. She was the original recipient of that
question. And it ties into this too. As I try to take thread and craft together what we're effing talking about, was she hot? Was she the type of person that looks like maybe she was going to have a little tryst? Not that that has anything to do with it, but, you know.
Not to me. Hmm. Not my style.
And why is it not your style?
Well, I expected Mike to ask for a celebrity.
Okay, yeah, that's valid.
Okay,
uh-huh. So I thought about it pre-show, knowing how Mike's mind works.
Okay.
And the name I came up with is Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So a large African-American woman.
Sturdy woman.
She was at least as tall as me.
Sturdy.
If not taller. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all. Yeah. There you go. Being a racist again, Josh. There you go.
Yeah. I had a sturdy passenger yesterday.
You got enough of them.
I had a sturdy passenger yesterday who complained that where'd the white snake go? I said, I'm listening to the radio. I can't control that.
Petey Sway says prostitute.
Oh, could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
It could be.
Working girl.
But why she would got she the cash to make change. Exact no, change
I
appreciated.
They all take Venmo now.
God almighty. Strange.
That is weird.
Wow. Wow.
Did you give her a 5-star rating?
I did. I give everyone a 5-star rating.
Let me ask you this question. Does this make you almost more excited to drive for Uber now?
Yes, it intrigues me. All of these stories intrigue me.
Because you and Carrie can have fun talking about this in the evening.
I was thinking I might be driving Carrie to a Hampton Inn. I don't know. But, wow. No, I love so the whole notion of it. Yesterday was another day of it. The bloom is not off the rose. It is a fascinating, fun thing.
And our commentary is doing a good job today. I'll ask the question. Do you think, are you sure it was a woman?
I believe so.
Okay.
I would classify her as.
All right.
Did she have was there a gender-specific handle when they said to pick up? Like, was it picking up a beautiful...
Pat. Oh, I am
Leslie.
No, I do remember the name.
I have to go to the afternoon.
the name in the Uber app that came up was Brandy.
Oh, she's a fine girl.
Okay, what a nice wife she was. All right, that's fascinating. Keep driving, boys. I like it. I enjoy it. Let's take a break. We'll come back with the underwear challenge in just a second. Check your wall calendar. August. Yuck. Hot. Nothing feels better than stepping inside that sweet, sweet air conditioning. Unfortunately, the bugs agree. Summer sends all kinds of these creepy crawlers looking for a cool place to crash, and that's why I use Pesty. Pesty is DIY pest control made ridiculously easy. Their custom treatment plan is tailored to your location, your climate, and whatever uninvited guests are lurking behind the fridge. It tackles over 100 kinds of pests, takes less than 10 minutes to apply, and treatments start at just $35. The kit has everything you need: reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide, gloves, and simple instructions. I've done it. Rob's done it.
We love it.
Keep insects dead. Plus, Pesty is kid and pet friendly with products that have been used safely in hospitals and schools nationwide. Plus, it's backed by a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Keep the AC, kick out the bugs. Pesty. Keep bugs out of your summer sanctuary with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off the order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off. All right.
You know, before I got Pesty, silverfish would come to my house and they'd arrive by Uber.
I hate that bug.
And they just come that in. Bug. Oh, silverfish are the worst.
And we don't have them down here per se.
I'll send
not
you
that
some.
I've seen. They're very lengthy. Yeah, send me some with an Elvis t-shirt on.
Hey, that's come what I on now. See. Yeah. You don't want to spray for lizards, Elvis. Then.
So as we move along here, I am now on the third packet of underwear that I am trying to replace a product. When I lost a ton of weight, I switched from regular old boxers to boxer briefs. And there was a particular underwear that I bought lots of not enough, obviously, called Fruit of the Loom Getaway Boxer Briefs.
And are those the one that have the elephant on the front so you make the trunk yourself?
No, shut up.
That's a novelty brief. That's really not one you'd wear all the time.
Getaway are, you know, it's the material and it's super lightweight. And I remember the first time I put them on with golf shorts and I was like, they feel fantastic. And then
I'm walking on air.
I didn't realize that big underwear does this where a product just gets discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
Too many blowouts. That's not
true. What's the brand you're looking for,
Mike? Nice Beaver.
The variety?
It's called Fruit of the Loom
Getaway.
Getaway Boxer Briefs. When I bought them, the last ones I bought, they were the shorter versions. Like, they didn't have the longer leg.
So, are they briefs or, like, mini boxer briefs?
They were kind of in regular briefs and the longer ones. And that's another thing. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to get the ones that go, like, mid-thigh. That's what I'm looking for, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just, like, if you're wearing a pair of golf shorts, they're underneath, and you don't, you know, they don't go through. I'm frustrated because the material... I bought a new pair that arrived at the house yesterday called Cool Zone Fruit of the Loom Boxer Briefs, and I didn't realize when I bought those that they don't have the synthetic material. They have the cotton.
Sure.
And when you buy the cotton...
Not what you need.
Well, because when you buy the cotton, the legs expand and then just hang there, and they look like nasty old boxers, and I don't
Josh, I think you might be the savior here. Look through your inventory of secondhand clothing and see if you can find a pair of getaway shorts. Yeah, by Fruit of the Loom. Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, so I have now ordered. Let me go in here.
Have you bought any underwear and then returned it? I'm just curious.
I have not returned any underwear.
Good. I think that's classic.
Because like $17, $20, that's the price point.
Did you say Wrap It Cool is what you're trying now?
No. Cool Zone is what I cool got. Zone. They are being thrown away. I don't like the Cool Zone.
ChatGPT says you need to go try out Jockey's Wrap It Cool.
Rapid Cool,
which is from Target.
Okay, are those boxer briefs?
They are briefs, and they have a boxer brief variety. Apparently, show.
I know this that the female listenership right now is out of their mind excited.
I got.
Have you?
All right, let me view my order. I got the ones I just got are fruit. This is such a stupid program.
What is the problem you're trying to solve? Is it breathability?
I don't have a problem. It's just the feel of the underwear. I don't have a problem. I don't have chafing. I don't have jock itch. I don't have any issues.
What you like. That's right. You're allowed. 100%.
Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah.
Men's 360 stretch boxer briefs. Quick dry. Moisture wicking. My balls don't sweat.
I don't think that underwear should. I mean, I like that it's moisture wicking, but if you're saying quick dry, how much are you sweating that the speed of the evaporation is an issue?
Rob, when you're out there in our heat that we have down here, I see there's ass sweat all the time down here.
Okay.
Have you had MeUndies as a sponsor?
Yes, we did many years ago.
Yeah, we had MeUndies for a while. Okay. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you know how it works on the show,
once they get into stores, they go away.
And they go away. No, but once they get away, they're dead to me.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to tell. I may use Harry's razors, but I'm not going to fucking tell anybody anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe if you used Harry's razor, you wouldn't need the rapid
moisture wicking. I didn't look. It's got a longer name.
Screw up that punchline.
Fruit of the Loom Men's 360 Stretch Boxer Briefs, Quick Dry and Moisture Wicking, Regular Leg, Cooling Channels, 6-Pack Assorted Colors, Extra Large.
Have you
perfect for podcasters?
Have you tried eBay? Not for used, but for like packages,
where new in package
bought liquidation.
Yeah. No, maybe I should have done that, but I hate eBay. I hate buying crap on eBay.
I love it.
I don't trust it. Marketplace.
No, you have to trust it.
Why do I have to trust that?
No, if you trust it, that's where the deals are. And if you find someone who's highly rated, I feel as good buying on eBay as I do on Amazon. And you save money sometimes. Yes. Oh. There are so many dealers on eBay that are out there.
Sticky wicket.
Yeah. Well, if you have a sticky wicket, have you tried Fruit of the Loom Rapid Cool?
Bing, bada boom.
Or Vinted.
Vinted?
Yeah. You can get some used.
Oh, yeah. You can buy on Vinted as well. Yeah,
that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And then I'll have silverfish in my underwear.
That's the color that they sell. They sell white, black, silver. And silverfish.
We'll take a break. Come back with some beautiful video. Do you have any Elvis videos at the end of the show today?
I can always cook something up if you like. But I've got other stuff that's more important right
I'll,
now.
I'll pass. Let's see. Have you been battling fatigue, weight gain, brain fog, low energy, poor sleep, or just not feeling like yourself? Let the battle cease. Find the solution. You don't have to guess what's going on. You can take the free wellness quiz at DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight management and peptide button, and in just a couple of minutes, you'll receive personalized wellness recommendations based on your goals. Whether you're interested in medically guided weight management, peptide therapies, hormone optimization, better sleep, healthier skin, or more energy, there are personalized options designed to help you feel your best. Visit DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight management and peptides button, take the free wellness quiz, and take the first step toward feeling like yourself again. Get started right now at DermGlowSkin.com. It low-key slaps.
It does.
That's it.
Okay.
Now we're ready for your thing.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
If I were to say that today we didn't have a parody record, I would be lying. So do you have your ordinance ready? And if not, I will play a tape before it. I just want you to prepare.
I have it standing by right now. I am ready to go. I am ready to believe you.
Mike, we mentioned, and we can discuss this in depth later if you like, I found a reality show that you should be on. I didn't realize it's like in its 24th season because it's got a limited exposure, I believe. But it premieres tonight. Have you heard of Big Break on the Golf Channel?
Yeah. It's been around for a long time.
Okay, yeah. I had never heard about it.
It's a bunch of good golfers that try to get on tour and try to get a contract.
I watched one of them on one of the morning shows today, and one of the hosts, and he says, well, as the guy that used to be the bartender on The Biggest Bachelor or whatever, he says, I've seen a lot of sad people. So his claim, the host, the male host, is that he played a bartender on one of the Bachelor shows.
The guy that's hosting the Big Break.
Yeah. So I want you to watch the preview and see if you can spot anyone that you would like to spend 10 minutes with.
Since the dawn of time.
Except for her, of
golf
course.
Golf has been a game of patience, convention, and tradition.
Until one competition show changed everything.
The Big Break.
This summer,
Golf Channel's hit series is back.
The show just tests you in ways that golf normally doesn't test you.
That's really a tragedy.
I've never been more nerve-wracked in my life.
And the Good Good team is here to put a new spin on things.
What is going on?
12 contestants dream of playing on the PGA Tour.
Forgot what her name is. She's been on the Golf Channel for a long time.
We'll help them get there.
Come on, baby.
That's exciting.
One will get their big break.
So, don't lose.
Mike, tune in tonight and root for Team Good Good Golf on the big,
Good Golf.
By the way, as much as I love golf, I have never logged a lot of time with that show.
Yeah.
I don't like reality shows when the real sport is my reality show.
Yeah, it seems rather shoehorned in. You don't need to have angles or stuff. Right?
What it is, do you remember when they made the pivot with the Food Channel and it became competition?
Bake wars,
oven wars, pan wars, you know, that kind of stuff. It's the same thing with this. And they're all that kind. You know, if you're good, you're going to go, on a tour, on a mini tour. You're going to play in Europe. You're going to come over here. You're going to play, in South America. And you're going to try to get on tour.
If you're good.
You don't do the reality thing. You really do.
I don't know. Wouldn't you love to see some of the greatest golfers in America hitting their ball through a pane of glass?
You know, as much as you like Elvis Presley, Rob, I like Phil Mickelson. And I just want to see Phil get back on tour.
I think it would be great. Phil was on, but he actually ate the host.
Hold on. Let's gather all the people from the Big Break and put them in. The young lady can step out.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, guys, come on in here. Here you go. Oh, there we go.
That is a big break.
Thank you.
Mike, I very seldom run into a parody record that totally charms and delights me. This is not new, but it has been bouncing around the socials. I think it's been sort of rediscovered. One of your favorite Rolling Stones songs, I know from the past, is the song Shattered. Great song.
Shadoobie.
Yeah, Shadoobie Shattered. What would be a good parody record for that?
Oh, I saw this.
It's funny. The lyrics are funny.
It's good. It's good.
Captain James T. Kirk, commander of the USS Enterprise.
Uh-huh. Shatner. William Shatner.
Stars and ships and galaxies bringing Klingons to their knees. Look at Captain Kirk.
Nope. That's where they lose,
he's an actor.
All right. I'm sorry.
He's William Shatner.
I gotta blow it up now.
Okay.
Because it was, all right, I saw this the other night too.
Okay.
And when I saw it, I laughed at the beginning, and then, you know, there's work involved in doing one of those mashups, right?
Right.
You have to put the effort in, and they didn't. They got the first concept, and then it's like, look at a bit of Captain Kirk, a bit of a bit of.
Well, the video is well done. Of course, some people aren't enjoying that right now. I do love the fact that one of the lyrics is, he's an actor!
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, but it just, you know what? My feeling on that, liked it, but it could have been so much more.
Okay, well, you know what?
They could have given more.
I issue a challenge to the people that are on the internet. Make that better.
Make it better.
It's a good idea.
I thought your challenge would be for Mike.
No, not at all. Mike, there's a guy.
Shatner is what I did in my Fruit of the Looms, too.
Oh, I bet he's very particular about his undies.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His name is Joseph Almo. He's worked at WRC. That's the NBC affiliate here in Washington, D.C. He's been there for 10 years.
And Channel 4.
Yeah. 10 years is a pretty good run, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yep. It's not anything legendary. Why is this video trending? The other night when he was signing off the news, he's leaving, and they let him do this tribute to himself.
Well, before we go tonight, I've got just one more story for you. For the better part of a decade, which includes three thrilling years, right here at NBC4, I've had one remarkable job. You can cover the world, but nothing compares to being a local news reporter. Because think about it. Who else would tell you about all the things happening?
I mean, right?
3 years?
What a nad.
Yeah, he's an absolute nad.
Who is this guy?
I never knew a thing about him, and I've watched TV in this town a long time.
Why are we
time.
Looking at a jet?
Oh, because he's going to talk more.
We live, to watch all these moments in person and then share what I see with you has been so cool. And to do it at a channel that's been watched for nearly 80 years, be part of a legendary team that works quite literally 24/7, y también compartir las noticias en español. It has been remarkable. So now to the bittersweet part. In life, you are often encouraged to dream big. But what happens when you have several dreams?
Whoa.
I firmly believe our time here is way too short to get to the end and wonder, what if I had tried that? So after almost 10 years in broadcasting, tomorrow night I will hit the streets of the DMV one final time. As a local news reporter, as a journalist. What I do after, we're going to talk about that soon, but if you know anything about me, you will not be surprised,
you.
My
turn
friend.
It off.
And just
I'm going to blow you up too.
But I'm
so
right,
after
right?
All that bullshit, we don't get the payoff as
no.
to what he's doing.
No,
what his dream is.
Now I think what he's going to do, news? he's going to end up on the show The Big Break.
You got to get, I think a news director is going out of his mind if he's seeing that.
I have
no idea. Channel 4.
How in the wide world did he get that on the 6:30 news?
Wow.
How did he, I mean, something must have happened.
Daniel Thurber is a funny man.
That is funny.
That's very funny.
Mike, I want to close with a palate cleanser.
Okay, good.
Are you familiar with a talented act called the Del Rio Triplets?
No, I don't know.
The Del Rio Triplets were born early enough that they could do early Hollywood stuff, but they performed well into their 90s.
Oh, wow.
And they're identical triplets.
Okay.
And Mike, this is showbiz.
Go, go, ba, 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 ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, ba, hot. That's
Thank
a sad
you.
Way to end it with Matt, the historic Del Rio triplets.
Smoke. There's gun smoke. And this guy said, better singers than Whitney. That is
now that's not
the
funny.
Cherry on the Sunday. We got to get out of here. We will return with another episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. And for the family and all the big fans of Dolly, sorry, we will miss you. What a wonderful legend we lost today. Safe home, Dolly Parton. For Josh Sorokin and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.